do you visualize when you think about chemistry? For me, it's my high school chemistry classroom. Cinder block walls, chalkboard, chairs in the middle of the room, lab benches along the sides, glassware, cabinets of dark-colored vials with mysterious compounds, Bunsen burners, goggles, the usual stuff, and the inevitable oversized periodic table hanging on the wall, all neat and tidy, looming over us. Some of you might even have a rhyming mnemonic playing in your mind. There's hydrogen and helium, lithium, beryllium. The thought of doing chemistry without the periodic table's guiding presence is unnerving at best. It's so important that students taking chemistry exams are routinely given copies for reference. And 2019 was even declared the International Year of the Periodic Table, celebrating the 150th anniversary of its creation. Everybody remembers that, right? An eager chemistry student can explain the trends across the table. Electronegativity increasing as you go up and to the right. Atomic radius decreasing as you go down and to the left. Atomic number, and by default number of protons, increasing by one for each element as you go across. These concepts are the foundations of modern chemistry, and are among the first things you learn in introductory chemistry, all aided and supported by that table, which not only describes but predicts, as many good systems of organization and classification do. And when you hear its inspiration, clear and obvious, you'll never see it in the same way again.
A document that changed the world. The Periodic Table of the Elements. First described in the book Principles of Chemistry by Dmitri Mendeleev. 1869. I'm Joe Janes of the University of Washington Information School, and I am delighted to be joined by my student, Lexi Kolakowski, who produced, researched, and co-wrote this episode.
Before the periodic table, chemistry still had to be taught. Elements were often arranged alphabetically, where they were listed with name, symbol, and equivalent weight. This ordering made it easy to find a particular element, though tells us almost nothing about how they relate to each other. From just looking at it, you can't tell the difference between a metal and a noble gas. Individual writers had to come up with systems unique to them, and that worked for their needs, but weren't generalizable to the field of chemistry as a whole. The order of elements could look entirely different whether you were studying chemistry, pharmacy, or even switching between textbooks of the same field. Up through the 1860s, many scientists saw the need to group elements in some sort of manner and developed a variety of schemes. Notably, one prominent periodic system was published by Johann Gmelin, featuring triad relationships that successfully ordered 55 elements by atomic weight in a V-shape that had largely correct groupings. And he may have been the first chemistry textbook author to base his textbook around the periodic system. Along comes Dmitri Mendeleev, an already accomplished Russian chemist who was part of leading chemical advances at the time. In fact, he is one of the people who decided that the atomic weight of hydrogen should be set to 1, creating the scale that chemistry would be measured on. The youngest child in a family of 14, Mendeleev was encouraged to pursue the field of science by his mother, which led to him taking classes on the sciences and pedagogy, the connection between both leading him to pursue writing his own textbook. He published Principles of Chemistry in 1869, the same year that DNA was discovered, celluloid film is patented, the Suez Canal opens, and the first transcontinental railroad is finished. In it, he defines the law of periodicity. The properties of the elements, as well as the forms and properties of their compounds, are in a periodic function of atomic weights of elements. This law suggests a visualization to show the inherent order in elements. Periodicity is a key part of chemistry instruction. Each row in the periodic table is known as a period, and the columns are known as groups. This distinction was important to Mendeleev, as he noted that across a period, the atomic weight would gradually increase. And while all the elements in a period would show similarities, the two lightest elements, part of the alkali and noble gases, would show many independent traits, with hydrogen being able to combine to almost any other element, and helium, as a noble gas, would hardly ever bond with another element. These traits continue across the table, with element bonding and reactivity often determined by their place on the table. With these rules across periods and groups, Mendeleev believed that it is possible to foretell the properties of still unknown elements. This was a groundbreaking idea, that scientists could expect to discover new elements. The currently known elements were not just an incidental part of nature. They were part of something grander. Okay, so what's the pattern already? Picture the periodic table in your mind. Got it? Now picture a game of solitaire. Mendeleev prepared a deck of 53 cards, one for each known element at the time, and lists some basic element information, such as atomic weight, who is able to play the ultimate game of chemical solitaire, creating the periodic table with its characteristic rows and columns. Making this chemical solitaire even more challenging was the fact that there are gaps for missing elements. Using the prefix ICA from Sanskrit, which meant not yet discovered, he placed ICA aluminum, ICA silicon, and ICA boron to fill in the empty spaces on his table. Over time, he was able to repeatedly be proven correct as independent scientists discovered the elements he predicted. ICA aluminum was discovered in 1875, now called gallium. ICA boron was discovered in 1879 and was named scandium. Finally, ICA silicon was discovered in 1886, known as germanium. Along with successfully predicting new elements, Mendeleev had also correctly predicted several atomic weights of existing elements and successfully placed the noble gases on the periodic table, which led to the broad acceptance of his periodic table by the chemistry community in 1890, which is the first time the phrase is recorded in English in an article in Science magazine. After having been proved correct through the discovery of multiple elements, along with accommodating for the noble gases and the rare earths, his table was widely accepted. However, the periodic table continued to evolve. From 1910 to 1913, experiments were being done to determine the atomic number of elements, as shown by the number of protons in an element. In 1913, this theory was confirmed that the original ordering of the table from Mendeleev's periodic system had matched the atomic numbers of elements on the table. By examining the nuclear charge of elements, amateur scientist Van de Broek successfully hypothesized that each successive element would have a charge of one greater than the previous. This charge represents the number of protons in an element, and thus the atomic number. This was a major revelation, since it transformed the originally random, numbered order into a deliberate part of the periodic table. In the 1930s, the periodic table had grown to resemble something that is similar to the periodic table of today. Many of the unknown elements had been discovered, and the lanthanides were placed beneath the table. It was in 1944 that Dr. Glenn Seaborg proposed the only major revision to the periodic table. He conceived the idea that the elements heavier than actinium were misplaced on the periodic table, and might instead represent a series similar to the lanthanide series. As Seaborg was working on the Manhattan Project, he proposed the actinide concept, that the heaviest elements, called the actinide series, should be placed beneath the lanthanides, and should be separate from the main section of the periodic table, creating the rectangle of elements that is shown beneath the main periodic table. While this reorganization of the elements was initially not well received, it allowed for Seaborg and his team to discover even more elements in the actinide group, leading to a shared 1951 Nobel Prize for discoveries in the chemistry of transuranium elements. With this final reorganization of the periodic table, it now closely resembles what is taught today. Even as recently as 2015, elements have been added to the periodic table, all the way up to 118 at time of recording, with honorific names that sound made up, like muscovium, livermorium, tennessine. But then all elements' names are made up one way or another. In future chemical research, there's hope that the elements 119, 120, or possibly even more could be discovered and find their places on the periodic table. Okay, one more pun. Einstein is famously misquoted as saying, "God does not play dice with the universe," about quantum physics. Mendeleev, however, did play cards with the elements, and he won. This is a story about the power of visualization. Constructing a framework in which to arrange and portray the elements gave us a way to organize and understand them individually and collectively, making sense of their patterns and characteristics, which is what any good categorization system does, not unlike biological taxonomy or library classification. However, this is also a story about vision, recognizing that not only did this tabular format provide clarity and coherence, it also provided insight into missing and even yet to be created elements. That is rare and powerful, and in a way lets us see into the future of what might yet be to come.